But here's a very important word for you from the Lord and from me, through me, which is significant because, you know, this is your pilot speaking. It says in 1 Samuel, chapter 14, verse 1, "Now a detachment of the Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. One day Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, 'Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side.' But he didn't tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. With him were about 600 men. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. Now Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, 'Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few.' 'Do all that you have in mind,' his armor bearer said. 'Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul.' Jonathan said, 'Come then, we will cross over towards the men and let them see us. And if they say to us, 'Wait here until we come to you,' we'll stay where we are, not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we'll climb up to them, because that will be our sign from the Lord that he's given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, those Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they have been hiding in." And the men of the outposts shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. Come up here." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord's given them into our hand." Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet, his armor bearer climbing right behind him. The Philistines fell down dead before Jonathan and his armor bearer. His armor bearer followed him and killed behind him. In that first attack, with him and his armor bearer, they killed about 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army of the Philistines, those in the camp and in the field, and those in the outposts and the raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Now God joins in the battle. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah saw the enemy army fleeing away in all directions. And Saul said to his men, "Muster the forces. Has anybody left us?" When they did, they said, "Just Jonathan and his armor bearer are not here." Saul said, "Bring the Ark of God," and they do all the stuff to find out if it's the will of the Lord that they should do anything. They finally do. Then Saul and all his men assembled and they joined the battle. And they found the Philistines in total confusion. They were even striking each other. And the Hebrews that had previously gone over and joined the Philistines joined with them. Now the men of Israel were in distress that day. Oh, why? Because Saul had bound them, saying, "Cursed be anyone who eats any food before evening comes, because before I have avenged myself on my enemies." So none of the troops ate any food. The entire army entered the woods and they saw honey lying on the ground. And when they went into the woods, they saw it oozing out. Yet none of them dared get the honey and put it in his mouth because they feared the oath that Saul had put on them. But Jonathan had not heard his father's oath that bound the people. So he reached out the end of his staff that was in his hand and put it in the honey and ate it. He raised it to his mouth and his eyes brightened. And the soldiers with him said, "Oh, your father has bound the whole army under a strict oath, saying, 'Cursed be any man who eats food today.' That's why we're all faint and weak." Jonathan said, "My father's made trouble for the country. See how my eyes brightened when I tasted just a little honey. How much better it would have been if we'd let the men eat honey today. The plunder on our enemies and the slaughter would have been even greater." Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're our teacher. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to each one of us today, to change our lives, to direct our lives, to capture us up into the vision that you've given us here, and to give us our marching orders, put us in the right place, do with us what you want to do with our lives. Amen. So this is a phenomenal story. Basically, what's happened is Israel are in terrible distress. They're oppressed by their enemies again. They go through this cycle of following God, getting a bit of freedom for 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, and they get oppressed again, and they get destroyed nearly, and then they cry out to God, and finally they get a king, Saul, who's done some good stuff, and he's fought some battles, but they're in a very poor and weak place today. They have to go to the Philistines to get everything sharpened. It says a little bit earlier, they have no swords. There's only two swords in the whole nation. One belongs to Saul, the king, and his son, Jonathan. Just two swords. The Philistines won't let them have any swords. And they have to go to the Philistines to get their tools sharpened even. They didn't let there be any blacksmiths in Israel. They just kept them oppressed and weak and oppressed. I mean, what a picture of the Western church today, brothers and sisters. An oppressed and weak army. They have to go to the world to get things sharpened and get what they need and rely on the world's answers and the world's technology. This is us today in Europe. What a picture of a weak church. There's a couple of swords, but they're not even doing anything with them. The sword's always been symbolic of the word of God and the gospel in the Bible. It's a sword that comes out of Jesus' mouth and slays his enemies. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's the word of God. There's so little of the word of God being preached. The actual Bible message being preached. The actual real message of discipleship. The actual real message of the gospel. So little of it. The church is weak in the West, Western Europe. It's weak and wants to fit in and be accepted. Is oppressed by the massive society around us. It's been going downhill since I got saved. I got saved 35 years ago. And I tell you, the watermark of Christianity was a heck of a lot higher then. It's not just an old man speaking, oh, in the old days. No, in the old days, it was better. Some of you can remember, church was better. It was more powerful. There was more salvations. There was more Holy Spirit miracles. There was more evangelism on the streets. Much more than there is today. The Western church has been sinking for 35 years since I've been saved. Sinking, sinking, sinking. Is Jesus with us? Of course he is. Are you going to heaven? Yeah, of course you are. That's not the point. Nations are sinking without salvation and the gospel, brothers and sisters. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. What a picture. They sat under a pomegranate tree, watching Netflix, bored out of their heads. Can't wait to get out of church, to get back home, to find a new series to watch. It's so boring. Hey, church without action is boring. It is boring. It's boring just to go to church and sing a few songs and have a cup of coffee and how are you doing? And go home. That's boring. It's boring. It's more exciting to come to church and get healed, isn't it? Come to church and get the devil off your back. Come to church and get filled with the Holy Spirit and convicted of your sins and cleansed and sorted out and actually do something meaningful with brothers and sisters. Something's going to actually affect them and them affect you and speaking the word of God into each other's lives. And that's meant to be us, brothers and sisters. That's what Amazing Grace is. That's us. We're not sat under that pomegranate tree. We are Jonathan and his armor bearer. What a picture of Amazing Grace. Two guys get sick of being bored. And they take one sword among them both. And he says, why don't we just have a go? Before the Lord steps in and brings a great revival, why don't we have a fight now? Without any money and hardly any people and any many resources. Let's fight now. He has that in his heart, Jonathan. Do you know what it's called? Faith. God loves it. He gets heaven's attention. He sets off and he has to climb down this cliff and up a cliff. And he says to his armor bearer, I'm going to go over and have a fight. And his armor bearer, hey, who's got no sword, says to him, I'm with you heart and soul. I mean, is that brotherhood? Is that brotherhood? It sure is. That's what we've got. We've got a rare thing in the church in 2019. It's called brotherhood. Not just fellowship. Fellowship's a nice cup of tea, counsel each other. Hope you're doing well. That's great. But I'm telling you, it's not us. I'm telling you what we are is brotherhood. It's an army. We're an army. Called by God. Allery said it. It's called by God to be on the front line and to start the fight in Europe. That's who we are. That's who we are. And Jonathan goes, and you know, you've just read the story. He's not whack with faith. He's not utterly foolish. He does wait for some door to open, but I tell you what, he's on the way. He's moving. He's moving. He goes with just his armor bearer, do or die stuff, and says, I tell you what, here's a little fleece. I mean, it's not much of a fleece, though, is it? It's 50-50. It's tossing a coin. If it lands on heads, God's with us and we'll risk our lives. I mean, what a guy. Talk about attempt great things for God, as William Carey said. William Carey said, before anyone ever bothered about world missions, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Sometimes God's waiting for us to attempt great things for him, brothers and sisters. We want to sit under a pomegranate tree and just expect great things from God. Oh, isn't it terrible what's happening in the news? Oh, what a world. Oh, isn't it terrible? Send revival, Lord. Brothers and sisters, it didn't happen like that. It's never happened like that in church history. Ever. It takes a Jonathan and his armor bearer to get stirred up and say, I don't care whether we die or not. I don't care whether it works or not. I don't care. I'm going. You and me, come on. Let's go to Tartu. Let's go to Redcar. Let's go to Hartlepool. Let's go to Norway. Let's go to Thorntree. Let's just do it. And let's see if the Lord's with us. Heads or tails. If they say come up here, we'll come up. All right, we'll climb the cliff. Hey, it doesn't tell you how high that cliff was, brothers and sisters. We've been climbing a flipping high cliff, us lot, for 7.5 years. It says he climbed with his hands and feet. He wasn't holding his sword. He's climbing. This is a real cliff. He's climbing in his armor bearer, bless him, carrying the shield and that, his armor. He's climbing behind him. It's hard work, isn't it? It's toil. So the climbing towards what? Towards what? A big party. Battle. What a picture of amazing grace movement. That's a picture from the Holy Spirit of who we are, where we are. He climbs up the top and they fight and they have a victory. They've got one sword, but after the first Philistine's dead, they've got a sword each. And then they fight. Resources come, but only a bit. But with those two swords, they fight. They kill 20 men. You might think, 20 men? They're facing an army, 20 men. Hey, but Jonathan had just said to his armor bearer, numbers don't matter. God's not worried about numbers. God's able to save by many or by few. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't need a mega church to win Europe. He doesn't. He needs Jonathan and his armor bearer to start the fight. You only have to start it because when God sees it, you know what? He must have been saying to Gabriel now, come and have a look at these two. Have a look at these two jokers. Look at these climbing a cliff. Then there's something in the heart of our Father in heaven who is himself a warrior. Jesus is watching. Jesus is the biggest warrior. He rides a white horse with a double-edged sword out of his mouth and burning out. He's the king. He's the king. He's not a politician, brothers and sisters. Jesus is the king. He loves this stuff. He sees this faith and vision and desire in the hearts, even though they've got nothing. And he can't help but join in. Ah, get me caught, Gabriel. I'm joining in. Woohoo! Boom! Panic. The whole place is in panic. The whole enemy army is shaking in fear and killing each other and disturbing. We've never seen it yet, have we? We've never seen the first big waves of revival, but we will. Whoa, what a day when God joins in the battle. When our faith tips the balance. When God can't resist anymore. He just jumps in. And then of course the whole church will be revived. Of course they all join in the end. Ooh, what's happening? Oh, good heavens, people are getting saved everywhere. Let's go and join. Wonderful. And Saul's even claiming it for himself, isn't he? Oh, I've done such a great thing today. It's marvellous. I'm glad I've won all these people to the Lord. By that stage, anyone can win anyone to the Lord. By that stage, anyone can have a mega church. But who's going to be Jonathan? Who's going to be Jonathan and his armour bearer? Anyone here? That's what I want. That's what I'm suffering for. Climbing this damn cliff with blood on my hands. That's what we fight for. That's what we suffer for. That's what we pray for in this desert of Europe. Of course we're waiting for God to join in the battle. But we're not sitting under a pomegranate tree waiting, brothers and sisters. We're going to where God's called us to go. Thank God he didn't give us a big building before now. Because we'd have pooled all our resources into it and we'd have never gone to the nations. Isn't it just like the Lord that the minute we start church in Tartu and in really start those churches and found them as they are today, as Stephen will share with you tonight, then God just gives us the casino absolutely on a plate. I mean, they've just rang him and said, oh, we'll do the planning permission for you. Eh? We've been fighting and fighting and fighting. Now it's just dropping in our lap. Why? Because we're heading in the right direction. Because it's not about a mega church. Yeah, hey, Teesside Church, go and fill the casino with 400 sinners who need saving, will you? Go and do it. The Lord's with you. But Redcar, don't come over here to see what's happening. Get up and down that coast through prayer and faith and suffering and fighting and win your own battle. Because when the Lord joins in this battle, we're going to need churches all over the place. But someone's got to do it, brothers and sisters. Someone's got to hear the Lord that they're meant to be here with Andy and Esther and work and make it happen and fight here. Fight. Hold this field. Win this field. Someone's got to do it in Redcar. Someone's got to believe enough to stand with Tom and Stacey and make it happen. Not what you like, not what you want. Nothing's what you want. No church in Europe is what we want. We've got to go and make it happen. Who's going to Estonia? You know, Stuart and Marion. Who will go to Tallinn and actually break through in Tallinn for us, Stuart and Marion? I don't know who, do you? I haven't got a clue, but someone will. Who is going to lead us to Hartlepool? Andrew and Nisha? I don't know, but maybe someone. I haven't got a clue. It's just a wild thought. Who will go to Thorntree and save bunches of desperate families, Ian and Carolyn? I haven't got a clue. Haven't got a clue. Neither have I, Bob and Jeanette, know who on earth will get on that longboat and go and win Norway for Jesus. I don't know, but someone's got to. Who is going to start the first church in the red light district of Amsterdam? I don't know. But listen, brothers and sisters, we're not called to stay, we're called to go. Our churches are apostolic movements for revival. That's why we're here. That's why it's hard. If you don't want it hard, go to St. Oswald's Bibbly Spot somewhere and sit in the pew and do messy church. And enjoy it. And go and pick up some litter. Pick up some litter to change the world and run a little food bank. Listen, I'm not meaning to mock it, but I am. Because something else needs to happen. Some dramatic, gospel-filled signs and wonders. Revival. And of course you can't do it big time till God joins the battle. God has called these young elders and people together to do phenomenal things. These girls from Tartu, you know, you're not there by mistake. No one is called into this battle by mistake. Hey, no one's called into this battle by choice, like Alary said. Not when you start to feel the battle and the mortars are going off in your family. I tell you, your call, this is a privilege. You can't all come. You can't all come. You have to be called by God to be part of this. Called by God. You can choose in, you can opt in, but honestly, you have to be called by God. It's not a choice thing. It's just a mighty privilege. A mighty privilege. You know, in army bases, they actually have little villages that they build themselves. Proper little housing estates with shops and everything. But you know what? It's in the army base. That's what Amazing Grace churches are. Because everyone who lives in that little village, all of them are ready for war. Are ready for war. That's what Amazing Grace churches are. If you don't understand that, you'll never understand them. That's why I always say they're hard to join. You don't have to be with Jonathan the armor bearer. You can stay with Saul if you want. You can go back to Saul and you'll still be saved and a Christian. And yeah, revival will be so big, everyone will be part of it. But if you have it in your heart today to start it and be on the front line, then this is your opportunity now. Because everything's shifting this weekend, shifting to a whole new gear and a whole new level. And it's time to re-sign up. You know, I've just been reading the Chronicles of Narnia, which I just read all the time, you know, because I leave them on the loo, and I'm always on the loo. And I've just been reading the one where they're on the boat, you know, the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And really the Holy Spirit spoke to me at this last bit, because, you know, I'm absolutely, personally wrecked, shot to pieces, and tired, and weary, you know, and many things go through your head, many things, after you've been battling this long. And some of you have been battling, you know, with me for a long time. Well done. And some of you were battling and aren't battling right now. Do something about it. Some of you are just getting called into the battle. Welcome to the show. Grab a helmet. But you know, I was just so tempted myself to take the foot off the gas a bit. Just a bit. You know, because you get old, you get battered, you get fat, and you just think, yeah, maybe someone else can get their head kicked in Monday to Sunday instead of me. Maybe I'll just step out the ring and start training other. You know, these things go through your head. And I was reading this book on the toilet, and the Holy Spirit challenged me. Give me a choice as well. Because in this book, this is what happens. The sailors have sailed and sailed and sailed. They started off in nice clothes, but now they're in rags. They've been through many battles together. They're exhausted, shattered. They've been away from home for years. They're longing in their heart to get back to Narnia. But they started off with great ideals. We're going to sail to the ends of the earth. We're going to get to the very end of the earth. That was their ideal. But they get to this island one step before the very end of the earth. And this island is fantastic. And there's this table filled with beautiful food. It's called Aslan's table. It's not from the enemy, this. It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. This table's filled with beautiful food every day. And this island is the island of sleep. And he gives all the sailors this option. He said, listen, guys, you've fought and fought and fought all your lives. If you want to, you can sit here and I enjoy some nice food and wine and sleep. Wow, doesn't that sound nice? Just the sleep, I do it for the sleep. But the food, me and Chris will be there. The food, you know, yeah, I just need some holidays and I just, But then what happened was very interesting. Caspian, the leader of the voyage, said, so who's going to go on to the end of the world? And they're all like, umming and ahhing, and, well, the food looks nice. I'm absolutely shattered. I've done more than I promised. I've gone further than I said I would. I'm staying here. I'm just going to have some nice food and holidays and sleep. And Caspian said, yeah, it's up to you. You're welcome. But I'm going to select a crew to go further. Listen to me, because this is happening now, this morning. He said, I'm going to select a crew to go further. They all got a shock. They thought they only had the option of the island to choose. And he said, oh no, I'm not taking everyone. I'm going to select a crew of the most noble, the most courageous, the most loyal, the most faithful, the best fighters. You're coming with me to the very end of the earth. The rest of you, you're going to have to stay and sleep. And then they got panicky. He said, go off for half an hour and decide what you want to do with your life. They go off for half an hour and in the end, none of them want to stay. Because the only guy that stays in the end, eating the nice food and sleeping, when the others had gone off for more adventure, more battle, he regretted it. He'd done well. He'd done very well. But he still regretted it. Because just after that island, revival came. It all kicks in, if you know the book. They hit the sweet sea where the water's sweet and you can drink it. The sun gets bigger. Their eyes adjust to the light. They meet Aslan. It's phenomenal. And he missed it. But he had nice food and nice sleep. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is the choice for me. For me at my age, after all my battling, for me. But listen, you're my troops. You are. The choice is for you as well. Whether you're new here, then God bless you. You've got an amazing opportunity right now. If you're old here and you've been battling with me and Margaret for years, then you also have a choice, a real big one, because you know what it actually means. You count the cost. But let me just end by saying this. There's honey for you today from heaven. Honey. When the soldiers got really tired, there's the honey of grace and the honey of the Holy Spirit for you. When they were battling and battling and battling, and they got weary, those who were legalistic, those who listened to religious Saul, who joined the fight later, but started putting all religious bondage on them, we must fast. Says who? We must fast to make this revival breakthrough. Really, buddy? Carry on. You're joking, aren't you? You think you can fast to make this revival come? Get over yourself. Don't be religious. Don't bind yourself with things God hasn't bound you to. Just keep fighting. And the only way you can keep fighting in Estonia, fighting, 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 fighting in Redcar, fighting here, is if you get mouthfuls of honey, brothers and sisters. You get mouthfuls of honey. Get the grace and love of Jesus that lightens up your eyes. Get the honey of God to heal your broken hearts. You get a broken heart along the way. You get a broken body along the way. You better keep getting healed. The devil will hit you every single area, financially, everything. You better keep getting honey. You need the Holy Spirit. You need grace, not religion. You don't need bondage of fasting and thinking you're doing it, because that'll just make you weaker. If you take your eyes off Jesus onto you, you'll just get weaker. Brothers and sisters, it's good that our hearts are strengthened by grace. That's who we are. Grace, grace, grace. It's the kindness, the love, the goodness, the mercy, the power, the gift of God that you're here. So you've got a massive decision to make. Our dad and Pat were around the other day, and we were looking at some little bees that were buzzing around the flowers, and she said, oh, I revived a bee the other day. You know those bees, they never stop working, do they, brothers and sisters? They never stop working. Neither do we? They never stop battling, we never stop working. Amazing grace, busy bees. Some of you are very busy bees, you're proper worker bees. Actually, some of you aren't as well. You dip in and out, but some of you really are. And you know bees, do you know they'll work themselves to death if you're not careful? I found a bee dead the other day in a flower. Dead. Working itself to death. But our Pat said to me, I revived a bee the other day. So what do you mean? She said, I saw this little bee on the path, shattered, exhausted, this little bumblebee. So I got some honey. I said, do they eat honey? She said, yeah. So I thought they made honey. Yeah, but they eat it as well.
Do they?
She got a little bit of honey and put it on a little stick right near it. And it...
Isn't it cute? Is this cute or what? It's so cute. This little bumblebee.
Ah! And its eyes brightened. And it said, let's keep fighting with amazing grace. Bzzz. And it got life in it. Do you need a bit of honey, brothers and sisters? I sure do. That's what this weekend's for. It's what tonight's for. Hey, don't miss tonight unless you absolutely have to. Pay your babysitter double and get here. And get some honey off the Lord. But first, a decision to make. All of you have a decision to make in your hearts. And I'm not going to embarrass you by making it public very much. But you have a decision to make in your hearts today, whether you want to keep fighting. And listen, don't make this decision lightly, because God is going to take you at your word. You can take your helmet off right now and thank you and God bless you. And you can still be part of the church. Of course you will be. But you know in your heart whether you're taking it off or not. Or you can keep fighting until the Lord joins this battle. You can keep fighting your 20 men in your half an acre until the Lord sends a panic on the enemy. You have a decision to make now in the presence of God and of the Holy Spirit. And when you've made your decision, stand up to say you've made it one way or another. Lord, I want to personally thank you today for the privilege of calling me, Martin Ruddick, to serve you in this particular way, to lead such an amazing band of brothers who've paid such a price and still pay it on a daily basis to do what we're doing, to do what so many others don't do, to go where so many others don't go, and to do it all by faith. I thank you for each and every one of them. Thank you for every bullet they've took, for every wound they've had. And we thank you, Jesus, that it's a privilege to be with Jonathan and his armor bearer, to be them. It's a privilege and it's an honor. And it's something only you can actually call in our hearts. We can stand up here today, but truly only you can sign us up for another 10 years of service. But Lord, I know in my heart, and I know in many of the hearts here, if not all of them, we're saying, here I am, send me. Thought of that song the other day, that old song. Follow me. Leave your home and family. Leave your fishing nets and boats upon the shore. Leave the crops you have sown. Leave the life that you've grown. Leave the people you have known. And follow me. This is the word of the Lord to many of you. God's calling up his troops for the last battle and the last leg of the journey before revival hits. It's a privilege to run into the battle first, even if we die doing it. It's a privilege. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every decision made now, and we ask you for honey now to come from heaven. The honey of the Holy Spirit, the honey of healing, the honey of hope, the honey of vision, the honey of faith, the honey of love, the honey of forgiveness, the honey of endurance, the honey of embracing hardship, the honey of running at this and not strolling. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we not only receive new wine, we have the privilege of becoming the new wine. Through the crushing, we become the new wine for others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we've received new wine. Help us to become new wine now. Amen.